he had this really fascinating journey. Can you take that journey and kind of give us just the quick summary, the sort of the executive summary of his intellectual journey, which takes him through sort of Hindu through the maths and sciences, through Hindu mysticism, and then back to his Catholicism?
Yeah, it's an amazing part of the film. I'm very proud of this, because you can't really understand Wolfgang unless you understand this incredible journey to which you will learn. When he applied to Cornell, he was asked, and this is a memorable moment in the film, they said, why do you want to study physics?
Mm.
And he said, I want to study physics because I am convinced that that is the key to understanding the world.
Yeah.
And then he has this wonderful little pause with this sort of ironic little Wolfgangian smile, and he says, needless to say, I have changed my mind in the interim. So, you know, the reason that he changed his mind in the interim is that he encountered the supernatural. He encountered this initially through an encounter with the Hindu poet Rabindranath Tagore. And he recounts his first exposure to this incredible poet. He's brilliant, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
One of the great pleasures I had from researching this project was to read Tagore, and he's brilliant. And he encountered a world that transcended the domain of mathematical physics. All of a sudden, he was in touch with something he had never been in touch with before. I mean, he was raised nominally a Catholic, but there was no, you know, this was Austria at the end of the empire. This was not exactly a mystical Catholicism, let me put it that way. And he was so taken by this experience of something beyond the mathematical and the physical that he became a true seeker after wisdom, went to India, and actually intended to attach himself to a sadhu and make the profession and try and climb the ladder of ascetic religion in India. And there's a story to be told there. Long story short, he did not do so. And he did not do so because there was always one question,
mm-hmm,
that he was never able to get addressed to his satisfaction, even though he went to, I mean, this guy went deep into the Himalayas. He went to the last living outpost of a tradition upon thousands of years. And his question was always this. He said, if I complete this course, if I complete this ascetic rise, what is left this man when I get there? Is there anything left of the man? Is there anything left? And he said he was invariably told, no.
Uh-huh.
There is not.
So it's the sort of the nirvana, the annihilation that we get in all this, these pantheistic systems. You're listening to Reconquest on the Crusade Premium Channel, part of the Veritas Radio Network. This is Brother Andre Marie, and we're interviewing my guest, Rick Delano. We're talking about restoring the cosmic icon with Wolfgang Smith. So he turned off, as it were. He's disappointed by this concept of annihilation, that nothing exists of the man afterwards.
Yes.
He describes it as the drop of dew,
yes,
in the ocean.
The ocean gets no larger, and the dew drop disappears. What was it all for? What was the point?
What fascinated me was that even so, he comes back. He's in the United States. Eventually, he gets married to Taya, who was a doctoral student, I guess at Oregon State, right, where he was teaching?
That's correct, yes.
And she was a Catholic, and she was a pious Catholic. He describes her as a deep, deep, deeply rooted Catholic. And now, she made no overt efforts to convert him, but he finds out later that a Franciscan priest and Taya are both praying for his conversion. But he kept looking for wisdom, and he's reading. I was apparently what converted him was reading two books, the commentary on St. John by St. Augustine, the commentary on St. John's Gospel, And then the life of Saint Catherine of Siena, which is eclectic reading. I mean,
this is the profound thing. What's profound here? And again, I'm very proud of this in the film. Teia is an indispensable presence in this film. She died the day that we were originally scheduled. First interview with Wolfgang was the day that Teia left this world.
Oh dear!
So I was never able to meet her.
Oh wow!
But it was incredibly apparent to me that the formation of this man owes so much to the simple, prayerful beseeching of heaven, almost like Saint Monica, you know?
Yeah.
Praying year after year after year with the Franciscan Father Giovanni. And I know Wolfgang well enough to know that you would have been absolutely wasting your time to try and argue him into it. It would have been a complete waste of time. He's way too smart. It's not going to happen. So they were smart enough to take it to the supernatural, and they laid it at the feet of heaven, and this was how he was eventually brought into contact with these two seminal works, the commentary on St. John's Gospel of St. Augustine and Catherine of Siena. And these two things working in concert did the trick. Because what had the Hindus done for Wolfgang? They had set him up finally to understand what it is about our holy faith that is found absolutely nowhere else. And it is the incarnation.
Yeah, the incarnation
of the Son of God. This was the answer to everything that he had been looking for. All of a sudden, his Christianity was not something inherited or something, you know, that he did on Sunday when he was a little boy, and, you know, all the smarter people sort of snickered at it in the meantime. Here is where he confronted the living lightning. The power of our holy faith is in the incarnation of the Son of God. Because now that Christ has become man, it becomes, as the fathers would say, it becomes possible for man to be deified.